You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to episode 2 of the 2021 Massive Report podcast. I'm Brian Phillips. We're brought to you by Saucy Brew Works. They're on 3rd and Columbus. They just opened their new brew pub. When was that, Sam? That was pretty recently, wasn't it?
I think they opened it late in the fall.
Okay. Well, that was recent.
In 2020, it was recent.
And I hear, obviously, we know the beer is sublime, but the food, I'm hearing nothing but great things. It's just delicious pizza and wraps and that kind of stuff. And that's where we're going to be doing the Massive Report podcast when we get the all clear. I don't know who's supposed to give us the all clear, but somebody's going to give us the all clear. And we're going to be together again, face to face, around a table doing the podcast as we're supposed to. But we're recording on Zoom as we have about the past year or so. Murph is back. Ori's here. Sam, Bart just moved to be closer to his favorite bar. Is that true?
You know, it's not mutually exclusive. Let's just say it happens to be closer to Johnny's Bar and Grill, Johnny's on Glen, for those who are familiar. But moved because, you know, that's what you do as a good adult citizen. You buy a home, and because we're lucky.
Congratulations. Congratulations. You are a homeowner. Is this your first home that you've owned?
This is. Yep.
Wow.
Well, and
are you a handy fella?
Like most of them. I'm getting handier.
All right.
We'll see if anything that put up actually stays up.
Fair enough. Well, congratulations on that. Onward and upward. Esteli is in Nicaragua, and I'm disappointed because I thought that the crew were going to play in that city. It's about 103,000 people. It's in the mountains, so that would have presented somewhat of a challenge in terms of elevation, roughly the same elevation as Denver, Colorado. 103,000 people, as I say. The city reportedly has made quite a comeback during the Nicaraguan Civil War, which was just an absolute horror show. And I'm old enough to actually remember seeing it on the news. Thousands of people died, and Esteli was especially affected by this war. The city was basically destroyed, and they've rebuilt it from the ground up. And by all accounts, it's actually a really lovely place to visit. So I'll put that on my list somewhere. But the crew playing in Managua, is that, Murph, did I hear you right? It's because Esteli is renovating their locker rooms?
Yeah, I think that's, Ori was talking about it pre-show.
Okay,
I think that is, yeah, there's definitely renovations going on at their stadium. Ori, what was it, locker rooms?
I saw locker rooms from a couple of places. That might not be the most specific thing, but they're going through renovations. And I think at the same time, you know, this is a chance for one of their clubs to host, you know, a team that just won the MLS Cup in the United States. So they might have also saw that opportunity and had to move the game to the capital city and to the national stadium to maybe a bigger effect, even though there probably won't be fans, I would guess.
Yeah, well, I did watch one of Esteli's matches, and we'll get to this. They have a YouTube channel. It is too bad from a field standpoint that we're not playing there. As we were talking before we started, oftentimes the pitches in that part of the world can be a little dicey. And this particular field that they play on at Esteli was, at least from what I saw on the screen, was immaculate. Really nice stadium, about 5,000. But instead, it's the National Stadium in Managua, and the crew are already in Managua, are they not?
Yeah, they went straight there from Orlando. So
okay.
They've been there for a few days now.
Okay. So you'll talk to Coach Caleb Porter tomorrow about this matchup, which I imagine is a challenge to scout compared to preparing for an MLS match. But in this day and age, there's a lot of video out there as well. Murph, since we didn't have you last week, maybe before we drill down into this game, you can give me your thoughts on the roster, and we went over it, but I'd love your thoughts on the new additions and where you see him fitting in.
Sure. You know, I think to be obvious, I think they've certainly made some upgrades. And if you look at them, look at what they've done in comparison to a lot of MLS Cup winners, and, you know, even in other leagues and in other sports, it's a lot of change for a team that, you know, was already a championship level team. So, you know, the thought process with here was, we want to always get better. And they've made that very clear. They knew that they would be competing on multiple fronts. Last year, obviously, no Open Cup. So really only the MLS's back tournament was the only other thing they took part in. And the Open Cup, we'll find out if they make it with some weird rules this year because of the number of teams. It'll be based on seeding after the first 3 weeks of the season. So that'll depend on how they do. But the idea was to continue to get better, right? And so I think specifically from an attacking standpoint, this team got, on paper, a lot better. You know, you already have Jossy Zardes. You already have Lucas Zelrayon. Now you add a guy like Kevin Molino, you know, a guy who can play a number of positions across the midfield. In fact, the roster, the Cruz roster, even lists him as a forward. I don't know if he's played much forward in his MLS career, but he can definitely play any of those three positions. And then Bradley Wright Phillips, who is a guy who, you know, if you've watched MLS at all over the last several years, you're familiar with, especially in the Eastern Conference with what he did for the Red Bulls, one of the league's all-time leading scorers. And even last year, playing kind of the role that he's expected to here behind, you know, a starting forward, he was still very effective and probably played more than he anticipated due to injuries and whatnot. But I think those two are huge signings in and of themselves. And then you add a guy like Alex Maton, who I haven't seen a ton of, but things sound very promising there. I know Caleb Porter was very excited about that signing as a guy who can contribute this year, but is also kind of a let's get ready for the future type of player. And then, you know, I think kind of going under the radar a little bit is Perry Kitchen, who I know people were a little skeptical about at first because it likely meant that one of the two homegrowns in either Sebastian Berhalter or Aiden Morris was going to miss out on some minutes. And obviously we've seen Sebastian Berhalter go on loan to Austin. But Perry Kitchen is a veteran guy who's worked with Caleb Porter, and, you know, will fit right in, I think, to this system and provide veteran experience when they need to rotate guys. And then, you know, you have pretty much the same backline, which I think will be just as good as last year, especially if Vito Warmore can get back to, you know, playing like he was in the first game of the season when we saw him. And, you know, you keep depth in the goalkeeper, and, you know, with the addition of Evan Bush, who is a guy from Ohio. And we talked to him last week, very excited to be back, you know, just in his home state, kind of raise his youngish family where he's from. So, you know, I think it's really good. I do think there's some questions about, you know, guys you lost. You know, Hector Jimenez was kind of a heart and soul type of guy of this team. And they have that, you know, you have your Josh Williams, you have your captain still in Jonathan Mensah and things, but you lose a guy like that. Maybe not quite the depth at winger in terms of experienced MLS play behind the starters. But, you know, I think this is as talented as a defending championship roster as I can remember in MLS in a long time.
I would agree. And that's kind of the consensus that we got to. Bart, you're asking about something in the chat that I'm not picking up on.
Oh, I was just the Sebastian Berhalter loan.
I'm sorry. You used an abbreviation and I should have picked up on that. But yeah, we didn't talk about that last week. And I think it's, you know, I read that and just kind of blocked it out of my mind because it was kind of upsetting. And I guess I got to get over it because, you know, Austin's coming in the league. But yeah, Sebastian Berhalter has been loaned out to Austin. That's crazy to me. And I suppose if they wanted to make an offer, they could somehow wriggle them away from us, huh?
I think, and you know, we'll have to have Murph or Ori get in kind of the specifics with the, like, I think it's, they've kind of got right of first refusal on a trade or something. But I don't think there's anything really that gives them that much more of the inside lane. You're getting him MLS minutes. That was no guarantee. And most of the time when you see these young players going on loan, they're going to a lower level, lower division. So if he's going to be able to get regular MLS minutes with a manager that he has some familiarity with, and again, there's nothing Crew don't have to. It's not an option to buy that you see a lot of times. Crew don't have to trade him, is at least my understanding, even if Austin wants him at the end of the year. So I think this is a win-win for Columbus. Again, there's the ick factor of him going and playing in Austin, but he's not committed there, and you're going to get MLS minutes for him, and that's what's most important at this stage in his career, and that wasn't a guarantee here in Columbus.
And Ori, the loner rules are such that a lone player cannot play against his home club, right?
That's what I know of in Europe. I think it's right. The same in the States. So that's what would be my assumption. So
okay. I asked about this and I was told that the crew hadn't even discussed that, that what was most important is he gets minutes there. And, you know, he's someone that they really like. I don't want to make it sound like they're not worried about facing him or something like that. So, but just that the important thing was minutes. And if that means that they have to play 90 minutes against him one time, they're not concerned about that. If that helps him play more.
If that's him play 90 minutes, I think that's a big deal for them.
Yeah, I think I've been looking at this all wrong. You bring up some excellent points, especially you, Bart, that just for him to get play in the league, because you're right. Most of the time, guys are going down to the USL. I think of Lawless, when we loaned him out to Colorado, we ended up trading him. But he played a lot for them when we sent him away. I don't recall him playing against us, but just something to keep an eye on.
He did not.
He did not play.
In that situation, he didn't.
But with Sebastian Berhalter, it'll be interesting to see when you think of the young homegrown midfielders that Columbus have with Berhalter, Morris, and Parente, just kind of based off of what Morris and Parente maybe do this season or what Caleb Porter sees in them throughout training and practices over the course of this year. And then what Sebastian Berhalter, what kind of opportunities he gets at Austin, I think will definitely determine whether or not Berhalter comes back to Columbus and where the crew go in the direction of in regards to those homegrown players, especially that midfield trio that they have. Because one thing Caleb Porter told us a few weeks back was that they were very impressed with the way Isaiah Parente has been practicing. He's exceeded their expectations so far. And then, of course, we'll see how Aiden Morris does after having that phenomenal MLS Cup final start.
Yeah, we'll never forget that. Well, at least we'll be able to watch Sebastian Berhalter play a lot, since MLS has made sure that Austin is on TV pretty much every week, from what I could see. So we're going to get our eye full. And I got to be honest, I am interested to see what they've cooked up down there. So it's good drama. It's good drama, no question. All right, Ori, I'm going to kind of look to you to fill in the blanks. But in the brief time I had to watch Esteli on YouTube, and this was a match from about 3 weeks ago in their league, I could tell, I don't know who this other team was, they weren't particularly good. So what I was trying to look for was how Esteli chose to play. And at least in this match, they pressed a very high line. They want to harass up near their opponent's goal. And they're not shy about it. They like to play on the floor, but they're not adverse to finding a pass, you know, switching the ball from the back forward. I saw some great balls out of the back. The only thing that I saw, and they were up 5-0 when I turned it off, it was not pretty. I felt like they were a little shaky in the back, in the middle, playing the ball out, and were prone to perhaps some turnovers in their, just on the top of the box, between the bottom of the circle and the top of the box. Felt like they were just kind of a little shaky, considering that they were playing a team that clearly wasn't up to snuff in terms of the talent they have. They have a good portion of the Nicaraguan national team, which is not particularly impressive, but that means they played important matches. So none of these guys are going to be walking into anything that they haven't walked into before. What have you seen in the research that you've done about Esteli, and just give me your thoughts?
Well, I think what's interesting is the style of play that you described is very CONCACAF, very like Western Hemisphere, you know, teams that can pass around on the floor, try to long ball, but aren't the greatest at passing out of the back and potentially have a lot of turnovers left to them. That just sounds very CONCACAF to me. But in terms of Real Esteli, you know, when you look at the second pot of teams going into the draw for this CONCACAF Champions League, Esteli was one of the lower ranked sides. This is the team that's been in this competition a lot, because Esteli is one of the powerhouses of Nicaraguan football. They've won 18 league championships. They won both of their divisions this past season, because the way usually in Mexico, Nicaragua, other Central American Caribbean countries, they have sort of two halves of a season. So they're currently in the midst of their second half of the season, which is called the Clausura. They've got about 5-6 games left, and they're in fourth place, which is actually relatively low for Real Esteli. So they've only won, I believe, two total matches in their last five games, but they've been playing consistently, which is something that the Crew haven't been doing. They haven't played a game in 5 months as the CONCACAF Champions League is underway right now. Portland is tied 2-2 at the time of recording this. It's a crazy game over there in Honduras. Steve Clark just conceded another goal, but Esteli is definitely, it's a favorable draw for the Columbus Crew. Because in terms of those pot two teams, the teams to avoid were Club León from Mexico and then the Costa Rican teams. Alajuelense, who's going to play Atlanta United here shortly on this Tuesday evening. And then you also have Saprissa, who's going to play the Philadelphia Union. So you would expect the Crew to be pretty comfortable in this match. But at the same time, you never know with CONCACAF. You never know with this competition. And MLS teams are coming in cold. You know, the Portland Timbers here playing their first game since you know, the first round of the MLS Cup playoffs, which was all the way back in mid-November because they got knocked off by FC Dallas, and Columbus hasn't played a competitive match since early December. So that could come back to bite them. It all depends on what kind of a Columbus team we see in terms of their form, whether or not they're rusty or whether they just come in all guns blazing, hitting on all cylinders. But Real Esteli will give them trouble, and I'm very curious to see if their style is sort of the style that a lot of CONCACAF teams play in regards to trying to get the ref on their side, whether it's some diving interaction, whether it's committing on fouls, being physical. Very curious to see if that's what we do see on Thursday night for sure. It will be a fun match to start the season, but I don't expect Columbus to just go out there and romp because they haven't played in 5 months. They're going to be shaky to start. It's tough to come back from no competitive games in a long time.
Murph, I know it's difficult, but do you have any sense of what the club's approach will be? And you haven't talked to Caleb at all, but just do you get a sense of they're walking into just an atmosphere that as a club they're just not used to? How do you think Caleb is just handling the overall traveling to a strange country and playing in this competition for the first time?
Yeah, I think it's fortunate that there's a handful of guys that have played in this competition before.
Okay.
You know, and he's coached in it. Jonathan Nagby's been in it for winning MLS Cup. Lucas Del Rayon's played in it when he was at Tigres. There's probably a couple more on there. So I think that there is some experience there that helps. I also think the fact that you have some guys that have played internationally in CONCACAF, you know, Eloy Room, you know, so they have some experience on a similar level. As for the approach, I think the Crew really benefits from not having an MLS game this weekend. You know, you're going to have a full week to get ready for this game. And ideally you're able to build up a lead in this first game so that, you know, you go home and maybe you don't have to go all guns blazing in the second game when you have your first MLS game on Sunday. So, you know, in a normal MLS year, I think we would have probably seen a game this weekend and you would have had to balance kind of the schedule that they will have to balance down the road, assuming they advance. But, you know, I expect this to be about as strong as a squad as they can field. You know, obviously there's been some injuries in preseason. Artur is a guy who we don't expect to start the game as he comes back. Vito Hormhorst still working his way back. So, you know, it may not be 100%. Kevin Molino just played his first game in towards the end of preseason in a while. You know, so it probably won't be 100%, you know, the top lineup for the Crew. But I think, you know, they have a lot of interest in doing well in this competition, potentially winning it if they can. And one thing that will work in their favor down the line is instead of other years where this is all done early in the season, you know, Ori mentioned Real Esteli's several games into their season already. I think it's the semifinals and finals are played later in the year when the Crew will be in mid-season form, again, assuming they make it that far, or any MLS team that does. And a lot of these CONCACAF teams will be going off their summer break. So, you know, there is kind of a, you know, I don't know if you need an added incentive to really make a push in this tournament, but as opposed to other years where you're basically still trying to get going as you get later into the competition, you will have some time off and then pick it up later, which I think, you know, can help some MLS teams maybe actually win this thing.
Well, with the match with Philly coming up on the 18th, I think it's imperative that the Crew try to leave Nicaragua with an advantage so they can rest some of the regulars and use that depth right away. If they walk out of there down a goal or tied 2-2 as Portland is right now, then it becomes a little dicier. And obviously the goal is to win this competition. So it'll be all hands on deck. So from that standpoint as well, we'll be watching very closely because the game on the 15th here, just 3 days before the MLS opener, and that changes everything.
Yeah. Well, and the one big thing with this game being away is like the Champions League knockout, you know, European Champions League, the away goals tiebreaker is in effect. So, you know, even if they were to, you know, you mentioned this Portland game that's going on right now, a 2-2 draw may not be the worst thing for them.
Uh-huh.
You know,
good point.
Just because, you know, you come back, you know, all you need to do is keep Esteli off the board at Crew Stadium, historic Crew Stadium as
right.
You know, so there is something to that, but yeah, I think especially, and I know Caleb Porter has talked about this a lot and I agree with him to some degree, but they didn't win a game in preseason, you know, in terms of they did in the early portions against, you know, the LA Galaxy's second team and stuff. But, and I don't think that necessarily matters, but I do think there is something to just getting the feeling of winning under your belt before you really get going. And, you know, if I think the Crew from what I know about Real Esteli, the Crew should be the better team in this series. So if you can get that first win out of the way on the road, coming back, you know, plus you'll have away goals, I think you feel pretty good about things. And, you know, like you said, then potentially, you know, you don't have to run the exact same lineup out or push guys too many minutes or something.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. I can't wait to watch it. It kicks off at 8:00 on Thursday, correct? On FS1. And then the return match on FS1 here in Columbus, also at 8 p.m. on the 15th. I think we're going to learn a lot about this club, especially in leg one. Bart, as a long time and intense supporter, how do you view as a fan these opportunities to play these other clubs? Do you feel like for yourself and your fellow hardcore supporters, do you get really fired up for these things, or is this like, it's just another thing?
No, I mean, I think you get, you know, any time you have the chance to, you know, be the world's greatest team and prove again that Columbus is the world's greatest team on any stage, you want to see it, but especially on the international stage. And while the, you know, Real Esteli isn't maybe the sexiest name, you look at some of those other, you know, the big Liga MX teams. I mean, I would, especially but with the way this tournament, you know, works out, man, if we found ourselves playing one of those Costa Rican teams late in there, maybe that would be the finals. I'm booking a flight there. I think that would be incredible. I mean, I just, the biggest letdown here is that this is happening in the midst of a, you know, global pandemic, and you can't schedule your international travel around it, because I think this is an awesome opportunity. I recall the games obviously back in 2010, 2011, but didn't really have the income to hop on too many planes to follow them that time around. So I think this is a great opportunity for them. It's obviously something that Caleb Porter and the, you know, all the way up to ownership are taking this tournament seriously. And I think that also makes a big difference. You know, it's one thing to be, you know, participating in it because you've got to, it's another thing to go and make decisions in the off season and add players to really compete in the tournament. And for all intents and purposes, that sure looks like what they plan to do. And so you love to see it.
How about you and I, Bart, just load up like a four-wheel drive and drive to like Costa Rica or something for, you know, upcoming matches?
I'm all for it.
Trade off driving.
Yeah,
24/7 till we get down there.
That's a damn long drive right there. You might as well just do the Alaska to Argentina drive. That sounds like a blast too.
I like long drives. So we'll find a little hotel next to your favorite bar in San Juan, Costa Rica or something. And
download Duolingo, brush up on on that Spanish. Yeah. We'll have enough time to, we'll both be fluent by the time we get down there.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you. I think this is just, it's exciting. And I think that the, as the Champions League has grown in stature in this country, as more fans embrace that competition, you put the words Champions League out there. And I think for soccer fans in this country, they can kind of get their heads around it a little bit more. And it has grown in stature. Ori, don't you think in the last decade, this particular competition, it's not the Champions League, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think the fact that, you know, American soccer fans now sort of have a concept of the best teams in each continent competing against each other for an annual tournament. I mean, the UEFA Champions League is the biggest annual, you know, sporting tournament every year in the world. The Champions League final gets way more viewers and is a big global event compared to something like the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl is not the world's biggest sporting event every year. It's the UEFA Champions League final. And the UEFA Champions League has, you know, grown to heights in this country. Unfortunately, now where you're sort of in a period where most games are on via streaming service and people have to go get Paramount Plus. Like, for example, you know, at the time of recording this podcast, there were two Champions League quarterfinal games earlier today, and neither of them was on television. Tiki and Tierney was on CBS Sports Network instead of Real Madrid and Liverpool. So people went through Paramount Plus. Whereas I remember when I was, you know, a young teenager and, you know, going into high school, there were Champions League games on ESPN. Fox had the rights. They showed, you know, games or had a goal zone that was available for free on like Fox Soccer Plus. So that's just a whole different discussion. But still, the UEFA Champions League is a big event in the United States. It's become a lot more popular here. And CONCACAF Champions League, the fact that, you know, Fox Sports has decided to broadcast essentially all of the games on their primary sports channel is a huge addition, and people are going to be able to experience the weirdness of this tournament throughout the course of it as it's taking place from now until the end of October. And CONCACAF did just announce today that for the final and the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League, they will implement VAR. They will also have VAR for the Gold Cup, and they will have VAR for the CONCACAF Nations League finals, which will feature the U.S. men's national team. So now we have CONCACAF refs plus VAR. So that's going to be a lot of interesting discussions on Twitter.
It's going to be a lot of interesting discussions on Twitter. Is having VAR good or not?
I don't know.
I'm sure that they, I'm sure they will not screw up any handballs or any offside calls. Even red today cards. Even today in the
or European like the VAR not work altogether.
yeah, that's a good point. Some of these stadiums, you make a very valid point on that.
Well, we'll see.
It'll be fun.
Speaking of the Champions League, Liverpool's miserable season continues as they lose 3-1 to Real Madrid today. What is
really
going on there?
Ori's heart.
We were awful.
What a hangover they've had.
They didn't have a shot in the first half. They couldn't complete a pass. Trent can't defend. Wijnaldum was just standing there doing nothing. Klopp starts Keita, and he has to take him out before halftime. It was just a poor performance, but they got a goal. So if they go to Anfield and beat Real Madrid 2-0, they're through, and that's it. And they make the semifinals, but I think Real Madrid's going to advance. Liverpool's done.
If
it just shows you in any sport, you win a title, and that's the challenge that the crew face. You win a title, you put so much blood, sweat, and tears into that. But a lot of times, that following season is just kind of flat. And Liverpool, as this year has gone on, the Premier League even, it's not getting any better, you know?
It also doesn't help when your best defender's been injured for 8 to 9 months. So it would basically be the crew equivalent of Jonathan, Vito, Josh, and Buba all being injured for the whole season, which is essentially
and Nagby if he played center back occasionally.
Newcastle fan here who'd love to talk to you about injuries. Would you like to have that conversation?
Well, I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about this year. I mean,
I know. Would you like to? Both your starting strikers, three of your starting center backs, starting midfielder, and also not having the benefit of millions and millions and millions of pounds.
Yeah, but Newcastle's got Miguel Almiron, the Atlanta United legend. You know, they're fine. You guys are going to be fine.
just fine.
Tottenham, Mike Clear.
It's a great 2 weeks of soccer. There's UEFA Champions League. There's CONCACAF Champions League. MLS starts a week later. The Masters is this weekend. Like, it's April. Sports is here. Baseball's back. And the Columbus is finally going to play a game soon.
Boycott the Masters, though.
This summer, are they not playing last year's Euro this year?
Yep.
Euro. I love that tournament. That's one of my favorite tournaments. The Euro is a great tournament. And the 2020 Euros in 2021. Yeah. That's a good tune up for the clubs or for the nations rather than get through to the World Cup out of Europe, which is never easy. They're not used to playing the Euros a year out of the World Cup. So everything is different, and it's going to be a great summer of soccer, and the Columbus Crew are right in the middle of it. So I think we've covered this pretty well. We were trying to get out of here within an hour because Murph has lots to do and Bart has to unpack his boxes and put some shelves up or something, or maybe you're just going down to your watering hole. I don't know what you're doing, but everybody's busy. Anybody want to put a bow on this? Yeah, should we make it's hard to make score picks, but
we're not going to talk about the since 96 series that MLS just put out that has Portland and Seattle in it.
What's that now?
Okay, so
all right, Sam, MLS, you explain it.
Major League Soccer decided to put out a series of vintage apparel.
And we had some great uniforms back in the day.
Yeah. And they called this series since 96. I'm going to pull it up real quick. If somebody wants to talk while I pull this up.
Okay. Yeah. Because so basically it appeared that it was going to be all stuff for the original clubs and like throwback. They phrased it like throwback with a remix or something. So it wasn't like actual apparel necessarily, but it was, you know, the old Crew logo on like 90s looking stuff. But there was stuff from the Seattle Sounders and the Portland Timbers, which they both did exist in 1996.
Sure they did.
They just weren't MLS teams. So it's an interesting decision to do. I mean, you know, I'm sure you could also make the argument that like Orlando existed before it was in MLS too, but.
Well, that's a bit of a stretch, but I do.
Get yourself some San Jose Clash gear.
Yeah. Well, as the old man of this podcast, I went with my high school soccer team to the Kingdom and watched the Seattle Sounders play the San Jose Earthquakes back in the day in the North American Soccer League. So, and the shorts were tight. That's the thing. They were
just the way.
They were Brian real tight. It. Yeah, just the way we need to go back to that. Who was the guard for the Utah Jazz? What's his name?
John Stockton style.
All those guys in the 80s NBA wore the short shorts. New York Cosmos players also had the short shorts. But then the Fab Five came along in 1992 and wanted to wear baggy shorts. So you can blame the University of Michigan basketball team for that.
Well, you know, in all honesty, I think the tight shorts their time had come and gone. So they had their legs very exposed back in those days, and they all played on terrible AstroTurf fields. I mean, the Kingdome was among them. Just a carpet stretched thin over a slab of concrete. It was definitely a different world then than it is now. Any updates on the stadium that we need to know about before we go? Everything's looking good for July 3rd.
It's still there and still being built.
Okay. I wondered if
it looked good when I was there for the jersey unveiling. So yeah. it seems to be moving along.
Hey, speaking of jersey unveilings, though, that Nordic jersey looking good, looking nice.
I haven't seen it yet. Describe it.
So the Nordic has released a yellow jersey. They just put it out. I think Tom Costello's got a nice write-up about it on MassiveReport.com. But it's just, you know, that beautiful yellow jersey, but black sleeves, a la like a Dortmund. It's got what Columbus Speaks, I think is the jersey sponsor, Supporter Supply Co. Helped put it together. They actually fit as opposed to the Save the Crew community kit, if anybody had those back in the day, which looked very sharp, but until you put them on you. but otherwise, I mean, these are great jerseys. And so if you want to spend some money on a yellow jersey this season, although I do, from what we're hearing and Pat Norrie, might be able to verify, there may still be a yellow jersey, official yellow jersey from, Columbus Crew this year, but Nordak has a great one, supports, some good causes. So, buy that along with the gray jersey.
And where do we get those? Where do we get those, Bart?
Nordex.com.
Yeah,
Nordex.com.
Porter Supply.com.
Okay, very good. That's a great gift idea. Yeah. I posted
on Twitter. I said, you know, you can, even if you don't plan on wearing the jersey, buy it for the sake of supporting the charities. It's really not that expensive. Well, I mean, in jersey term, it's $65. But I think it's, for one, it kind of goes along as another part of the Crew history transition, Save the Crew story, kind of like the community kit. But yeah, do it.
All right, do it up, snap those up, and wear it proudly as we return to the stadium on the 15th and, of course, the 18th against Philadelphia and onward and upward. Let's give our picks for the leg one of the Stelly game, then we'll get out of here. Bart, I'll go to you first.
I'm going to pick Columbus Crew in this one, Brian. Big surprise. I think I feel like we're going to go with 3-1. 3-1 Crew.
3-1. Wow.
I think, yep. Yeah. Get those away goals. Build up a nice comfortable lead. I think Columbus overpowers them. Whether it doesn't matter who's starting, if you got Giassi up top, if you got Bradley Wright Phillips up top, each of them has more career goals than the rest of the team, the Real Esteli combined, or everybody else in that Real Esteli starting 11. And I think Crew take care of business down in Managua.
Okay, 3-1. Murph, what do you got?
I'm going to say 1-1, but okay. I think – well, so I'm interested because based on my research of Real Esteli, they've only given up 9 goals in league play. So I don't know a ton of the competition, but given that the Crew hasn't scored a ton in preseason, I think the offense will take some time to come along. But you get that away goal, like I talked about earlier, I think you probably feel pretty good coming back from your first game on the road in CONCACAF, 1-1, and you know, you feel like you can handle business once you get back into Columbus.
All right, Ari.
I'm thinking 2-1. I do think after having not played for 5 months that, you know, for a full 90-minute game, the defense might just concede a goal. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the expectation of the Crew will be going into that game after what we see these other MLS teams do. I mean, if Portland is about to, you know, get a draw here against this Honduras team, Marathon.
Looks like it.
Then, yeah, or Atlanta struggles against Alajuelense, then it's not like this is going to be a cakewalk for the Crew. I don't think it will be, but I do think they'll come away with the 2-1 win. I do expect to see, you know, a debut or two in that game based off of the injuries we've heard about. And I think in general, in preparation for rotation for next week, since they've got 2 games to prepare for in the second leg and then the Philly MLS opener. But I don't expect high scoring. I do expect the defense to potentially concede one, get back into the groove. They haven't played a big match in 5 months. 2-1 Crew, they get 2 away goals.
That would be a formidable lead based on what we talked about, the road goals being so important. Sam?
Yeah, I have zero, you know, anything to base this on. So,
well, you're not wagering. So,
as opposed to the rest of us.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so I'm gonna take a page out of Bart's book, and I'm gonna say that the Crew is gonna win 4-0.
Wow, 4-0. I like it. Thanks, Sam. I'm gonna agree with Ori and go 2-1 Crew, and that's good enough. You know, knock the rust off in a strange place that we've never played before against a team we've never seen before. So when you add all that up, who knows? But I'll go 2-1 crew, and we'll take it back here on the 15th. So we'll return next week. We'll have a game to review. We'll have a really solid idea of what Esteli is all about, and we'll look forward to that leg two match on the 15th. Like and subscribe, please. It helps. I don't know how it helps, but I'm told that people should like and subscribe. So please do that. I mean, it can't hurt, right? Also, Saucy Brew Works, support our new sponsor, and soon we'll have some deals to announce, will we not, Sam? When we return to doing this live and in person, when we hunker down at our new home, Saucy Brew Works, as soon as it's safe to do so, right?
Indeed, and live and in person is really more dependent on our comfort level than it is anything else. So if we,
right. I thought the governor vaccinated, might have something to say about it, or.
No, they're open. Okay. So, and we're in a group less
no
than
no podcasts.
We're
I think
in a group
is what
less
I said.
Than 10. So I think
I would really like to whine to specifically address whether the Massive Report podcast should gather.
Yeah, I'll go and call Dr. Amy Acton right now, and then ask
I don't know why this hasn't been done yet.
2 months.
Honestly, it's probably a good idea for them to forbid podcast, like just in general, just bar podcasts and people from gathering and recording podcasts. Not this one, obviously. This is exquisite, but the rest of the quality in general, if you take the entire body of podcasts, it's probably better if we just no, nix that one.
You might have a point
there. And you know, we're always open, you know, because of the portability of our system, we can always do it in, you know, a parking lot or a backyard somewhere for all I care. So
well, I'd rather do it at Saucy. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I absolutely agree. And I will say that
nothing against your backyard.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. My backyard doesn't have as good of a beer as Saucy does. So
yes,
nor does it have as good of a pizza.
All right. In the meantime, until we assemble there, we'll have some specials for our listeners. Just, partake in the goodness that is Saucy Brew Works, whether you find it on your grocery store shelf or their location here, 3rd in Columbus. And with the pizza and the wraps and just delicious stuff, you get a head start on us. You can beat us there. And we'll see you there soon. All right. We'll talk next week. Go crew. And for Murph, Ori, Sam, and Bart, Alex got the shot today, his second one. So he's flat on his back or something. But hopefully he's okay. We'll see him next week. I'm Brian. Listen to my radio station, CD929, if you would like. I'd like it. Like and subscribe to my radio station, and we'll talk next week.